We are joined now on the program by award-winning broadcaster and boots on the ground in Washington, D.C., David Glenn joins us again on the program. David, thank you so much for making time.
Of course, Andrew. Always good to be with you.
And it seems like a pretty fun tournament to be at up there so far. Let's start with, obviously, the good news. Carolina looked really good.
Yeah, that's no exaggeration, for sure. Florida State was not a great team this year. It's not a vintage Leonard Hamilton Seminole squad compared to some of his teams of the past. But give the Tar Heels credit. You know, Jameer Watkins of FSU had scored 30-plus when the Seminoles eliminated Virginia Tech. And between Harrison Ingram and Jalen Withers and some help defenders, they really limited Watkins into some low-percentage shooting. He got some points, double digits, but he was not nearly as effective. And then the Heels offense was, you know, 90-plus points and in cruise control. And the starters were good. And R.J. Davis was the player of the year. And Armando Bacot gets another double-double. And Elliot Cadeau was solid, maybe not brilliant, but solid. And Seth Trimble and Jalen Withers off the bench were really good. So of all the teams here in Washington, D.C., I think the Tar Heels are the most complete team. And they certainly showed that against the Seminoles.
Speaking of all the teams there in Washington, D.C., it was pretty fun yesterday with all of the Big Four North Carolina teams playing. What was the atmosphere like down up there for that?
It was really neat because, you know, there's a big debate about how often this event should be outside the state of North Carolina. And I will say that whereas day one and day two here in D.C. were not anywhere near full houses, they're not usually full houses in Greensboro and Charlotte either, when it's just the lower seeds and the lesser teams playing. I'd say it was 80% full in the afternoon yesterday, and there was a massive UNC contingent on hand. I would say it was even a little more full in the night session. I think some people just traveled during the day, or maybe they had to work during the day. So it was maybe closer to 90% full for the night session. There were scattered empty seats here and there, but Duke, of course, was very well represented even in defeat. And I'm curious, because I have not seen a lot of NC State fans here this week. The Wolfpack have won 3 games in 3 days. I wonder if now that some schools' fans are selling their tickets, Duke or otherwise, because they were, you know, Wake Forest and otherwise, because they were eliminated earlier than they originally hoped, I wonder how many Wolfpack fans are going to kind of skedaddle to get here so that maybe there's a red contingent for tonight's semifinals. Duke, Wake, and Carolina were well represented in part because all three fan bases had something to be excited about, right? Carolina's only won one of these events since 2008, and a lot of UNC fans want to be a part of this, you know, number 19 ACC title. Wake fans were, you know, trying to root on their teams to the NCAA tournament bid. That doesn't look like it's going to happen now. Duke fans thought they could win this event, as I thought they could. So those three schools were pretty well represented. The Wolfpack was not, and I am really looking forward to tonight to see. Obviously, Carolina will be well represented again. UVA is the only school within 240 miles of here, Andrew, so the Cavaliers were really well represented last night and, of course, will be represented again tonight as the Cavs take on the Wolfpack. So it's going to be a fascinating foursome. I think we'll truly have the full house tonight and tomorrow night. The city is not really abuzz about this event the way it would be in Charlotte or Greensboro. But inside the arena, I could say that it has been a success story so far.
We're speaking with David Glenn. He is in Washington, D.C. for the ACC tournament. And if I can indulge in a little schadenfreude here, the Duke loss yesterday, I believe you have to go back pretty far to find the last time Duke lost in their opening round game of the ACC tournament. Is there reason to be worried if, for some reason, someone were a Duke fan?
I think there is. I still think they're very talented. I still think they're going to be probably a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament, which, you know, reflects their entire body of work, just not their slide here recently with that home loss to the Tar Heels and then a really surprising loss head-to-head to the Wolfpack. John Shire was kind of spitting his words through gritted teeth after that game. I asked the question at his press conference. he was maybe the only coach here in D.C. this week that was pretty late for his press conference, which means, you know, there's a chance he was peeling the paint off the walls of that locker room. And that's why it took him such a long time to get to the media podium. But he knows the bottom line. This is a former Duke guard and a former star in this league and a guy who was an ACC tournament MVP. And the bottom line in the loss to the Wolfpack is that the guards didn't show up. There was nothing wrong with Kyle Filipowski. He was fantastic, the Devil's big guy. There was nothing wrong with Mark Mitchell. He was really good. And guess what? John Shire brought those two guys only to the post-game media session, pointed to them and said they brought the competitive fire that we needed, and complimented the guys to his left, and then added, but we did not do that collectively as a team. And he wasn't exactly pointing fingers literally, but we all knew he was talking about his senior guard, Jeremy Roach, who was not good against the Tar Heels on his senior day and then was not good again against the Wolfpack. His point guard, Tyrese Proctor, who was 4-for-16 from the field, and his freshman star, Jared McCain, who had a freak accident in pregame warmups where he needed 3 stitches and a big bandage on his head, which must have been distracting because he certainly was not himself. You've heard the phrase, you need guards to win in March. Duke's guards did not show up against NC State. And that it credit to the Wolfpack. The Pack did a lot right. But you can't win against even a decent opponent if your guards don't show up. John Shire knew that, and I think that's why he was a combination of mad and upset in the post-game session.
Turn the attention back to UNC, or UNC's next opponent anyway. We talked on Wednesday, and you said you thought that Wake-Pitt game was kind of an NCAA play-in game for both of those teams. And obviously, Pitt looked pretty good in that game, honestly. Had a little bit of a lapse there in the second half when they kind of let Wake back into it, but they controlled a lot of that game. Do you expect them to have any kind of a letdown, or do you feel like they still probably feel like they need one more win?
I think they should feel like they need one more win. I think Wake's NCAA chances are almost zero now, given their slide since they had that big win over Duke and Winston-Salem. They just haven't done anything away from home this year. And that includes not playing all that well, especially in the first half and that loss to Pitt yesterday. I think Carolina's going to get Pitt's best shot. I don't think Pitt can assume that they're safely in the tournament right now. There's a lot of variables. And as the Pitt players and Coach Jeff Capel said at their post-game session yesterday, yeah, they got to control what they can control, which is either beating Carolina or at the very least, you know, playing the Tar Heels down to the wire to show that they belong. Carolina did beat Pitt back in January by 13, but I actually think both teams are better versions of themselves right now. The Pitt star, first-team All-ACC forward Blake Hinson, did not shoot well at all against the Tar Heels in that game earlier this season. Armando Bacot was great for the Heels. Seth Trimble was great for the Heels off the bench in that first Pitt game. But Pitt's inserted, really put even more weight on 2 freshman guards, Jalen Lowe and Bub Carrington. They have a guy, Ishmael Leggett, coming off the bench now who put up 30 in that win over Wake Forest. Jeff Capel has supreme confidence in his top 7 players right now. And just like Hubert Davis has his great confidence in his top 7 or 8. So I actually think whoever wins between Pitt and Carolina should be favored over whoever wins between UVA and NC State, because I think that both the Panthers and the Heels are playing a better caliber of basketball than either the Wolfpack or the Cavaliers.
We're speaking with David Glenn. He is in Washington, D.C. for the ACC tournament, and we are just about out of time here. So is there anything else that you wanted to mention before we wrap up?
It's probably worth mentioning that, believe it or not, Carolina, while having only that 1 ACC title since 2008, that was Roy Williams' 2016 team, believe it or not, if the Heels beat Pitt, they will be appearing in their 36th ACC championship game in a league that is 71 years old. So that's just crazy to me that over 7 decades plus, a single team is there literally half the time, roughly. So we'll see if the Heels get that done. But just a little fun fact for you as I say goodbye from D.C.
That is a fun fact because it feels like they haven't been there a whole lot in recent memory. So that leads me to believe that they've been there. Compared to other programs, they've been there plenty.
Indeed, that is definitely the case. And they'll add to that legacy if they can get past Pitt. And, of course, they are seeking ACC title number 19. If they can win both today and tomorrow, they'll trail only Duke's 22 in that category.
Well, David, I appreciate you taking the time, and I'll let you head over there and get ready for the game.
Thank you, my friend. Keep up the good work.
Take care.